Ebony Bones mit What Difference Does It Make? Ihr Smiths Cover haben wir gerade nochmal abgespielt. Featuring the London Children's Choir. Der singt da schön mit im eben gehörten Stückchen. Die Londoner Künstlerin, die am Wochenende in Berlin ja aufspielte, ist jetzt nochmal bei mir im Studio und wir quatschen über die Notwendigkeit, heutzutage selbst produzieren zu können. Wir sprechen über zeitgemäße Arten, Musik zu veröffentlichen, finden raus, wie und wo sie derzeit am kommenden Album arbeitet. Wir reden über Genregrenzen und ein bisschen auch über den Damned Drummer Red Scabies. Und außerdem besprechen wir noch vieles, vieles mehr. First of all sage ich aber hello and welcome, Miss Ebony Thomas.
Hello, how are you?
I'm totally fine. It's good to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem. How's your weekend been? You played a show on Saturday?
Amazing, yeah. We had a really good fun time playing show here in Berlin for Ray Ban, which was hosted by Vice magazine.
Oh, cool.
Really full house.
You like the other artists like Elsie, the La Corpse Mas de Françoise?
Is Tropical also played, and they were awesome. Really cool night.
Cool.
And we had a nice stage invasion as well, which was cool.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Is that something that happens regularly on Ebony Bones concerts? Or?
It kind of does, actually. We get kind of rowdy sometimes. It's nice, you know. We often allow people to come on stage and party with us, and that's all good.
Oh, yeah. That's lovely. And it makes the boundary go away that can be there between an artist and the audience, but I think it should disappear.
Most definitely. We always keep that kind of punk spirit going.
Yes. We were going to talk about punk spirit and the DIY thing, obviously, but first I want to talk about the upcoming EP, Milk and Honey. Part one has been done already.
That's right.
And there's plans to only press the EP once, is that right?
That's correct. Yeah, so it's going to be one production.
Yeah. And what's the idea behind that? Are you really gonna put that one copy into a museum, or what are the plans for that?
That's right. So the EP will be available digitally.
Yeah.
And we will be releasing only one physical.
Yes.
Production, and I think it's a nice special thing to do for a release, particularly in a time where we're seeing lots of downloads and streaming services. It's nice to keep the value of physical copies.
Yeah, and that's a direct comment on these things, right? How the thing developed, the relationship between artists and the people who buy their music
or
illegally download it.
Right.
I mean, that's happening a lot.
So it was really nice to be able to have something special for this EP release. Yeah. 1984 was my creative platform and label that I started a couple of years ago. And, you know, I'm a huge fan of DIY artists and DIY labels. And I thought this would be a really nice idea to kind of celebrate that.
And is this one EP going to be pressed on a super seldom material or something like that? Is there going to be an extra value to it?
It most definitely will be. There'll be artwork booklet along with vinyl and CD.
Uh-huh.
So we'll see who wants it.
Yeah, cool. hasn't the Wu-Tang Clan done something similar to that?
That's right, the Wu-Tang. I actually didn't know that at the time.
Uh-huh.
And when I found out about Wu-Tang's release, I was really excited because clearly there is a zeitgeist of individuals who are interested to see the value of art and what it still means to the public.
Yeah. And it's a proof for the fact that the world of ideas is open to anyone, right?
I think so.
It happens that two people on different sides of the planet have the same idea and they go for it, and then they meet in the middle and they'll be like, oh, you had that same idea. That's crazy.
Maybe I'll become an honorary member of Wu-Tang.
Oh, that would be cool, right?
Resurrected.
Do you have a fighting style already in the back of your head?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. My kung fu skills are just up to point.
Okay, cool. I already mentioned Red Scabies, who's the drummer for The Damned.
Right.
And I've learned today that he has kind of forced you to go the DIY way. And he's kind of told you to name yourself Ebony Bones for stage.
No. He did name me Ebony Bones, that's correct. And he was my first drummer when I first started out. And I was very influenced by him as a mentor.
Yeah, cool.
And someone who embraced the idea of DIY and just doing it yourself and really kind of celebrating yourself as an artist. In a very organic way.
I have the feeling that it's becoming more and more important to be able to produce yourself and to be able to have an idea of what's happening in the studio, because that's the only way that you control the stuff that's going to be put out. And it's much better to fail with stuff that you've made up yourself than to fail with stuff that some producer has,
thought
this might be real good for Ebony Bones.
Exactly. And
how thankful are you for him being a mentor and kind of like telling you that it's important maybe too?
Extremely. I mean, I found that there were very few female producers.
Yeah.
And I think today we find that there still aren't very many. So it was a very rare thing to make that decision.
Yeah.
At a very young age in my musical career, I had the opportunity to tour with the legendary girl band The Slits, and the lead singer Ari Up, also German. She was a huge influence as well.
Oh, cool! See,
and again, it was being surrounded by these amazing artists who just did what they wanted to do in their own way.
Yeah,
and that was something that I wanted to embrace.
Cool. So sometimes it's really important who you meet in those first years of a career, right?
I think.
Your personality. I guess I don't know you very very well, but I think your personality would have gone into the DIY, and I want to have control over stuff direction anyway.
Sure. Yeah.
But I mean, if you have guys around you who ensure you to do it exactly that way, it must be great.
There was no one to really kind of dictate or show. I think it's about embracing that perfection in imperfection and finding your own way through trial and error, and really being able to dictate how you want to create your art. And it just so happened that the stars aligned and I managed to meet these amazing individuals.
And that's something, but what you just mentioned is a topic that I talk about almost every day, is to embrace the mistakes in music again.
Because most definitely.
All those perfectly produced songs and records of the past few years, especially around the zero years, like in the beginning of the 2000s, every bass drum was right on the grid,
And it's kind of taken the humanity.
Yeah, and you listen to that song four or five times, you'd be like, thank you, next song, bored.
Yeah.
Which doesn't happen with a Marvin Gaye recording, right?
Yeah.
Because there's so many mistakes in there.
Yeah.
You can hear him stomping his feet and you go like, what?
Yeah.
Before we talk a bit more, let's listen to a new song that's going to be part of the EP that you guys out there won't be able to buy physically because it's in a museum and it's going to be super expensive. Just to make sure, and then comment on the fact that music should have a value. But before we get too philosophical, let's listen to that song. It's Ebony Bones with "O Promised Land." Ebony Bones, "Oh, Promised Land," ein Auszug aus der EP Milk and Honey Part 1. Part 1 is part of the title of the upcoming EP.
It
makes me think that there's going to be a part 2.
Perhaps. part of the LP. Who knows?
Okay, so that's not really clear yet.
Right, we'll see.
Yeah, but you're working on an LP as well
to put
out at the end of the year.
That's right.
How far are you with that?
The LP is sounding phenomenal, and we think it will probably be ready for release in 2016, part of 2016.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So you're going to...
We're really excited about this new EP and "O Promised Land," which has recently been featured as part of Ray-Ban's new campaign for change.
Okay.
They heard the track.
Let me have a look at your glasses here.
Do you like them?
Yeah, I like them.
Not bad, are they? So we were playing a really cool event for them on Saturday for Campaign for Change. And it was really great that they liked the track. And it was part of the Ray-Ban new campaign.
Cool. And it's a totally different animal to what we've listened to before. I mean, the thing that we listened to before was a Smith cover, obviously. Mm-hmm. And there's this guitar track in there, which belongs there because it's a Smith cover. But this new track is like old school disco feverish.
Right. I mean, I grew up going through vinyl bins, just being obsessed with music. My dad had a small record
store
in Brixton Market that I used to sell music with him as a little girl, and so I was always obsessed with a huge eclectic range of music.
Oh, cool.
I think that comes through in my work.
Yes, totally.
And for me as an artist, it's not interesting to produce the same thing more than once. Yeah. It's always about moving forward, trying something new, and keeping myself entertained first. Yeah.
I think it was Bob Dylan who said something like, I only wrote 3 songs, but I wrote them 500 times.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, that's you can go through life
right,
like that
you can
as well.
Do that, you know. Yeah. And that's there's nothing wrong with that. You know, I'm a huge Dylan fan.
Yeah.
For me, sometimes I can have a short attention span, but I love so many different genres of music.
Yeah,
and I'm
that's great.
A huge fan of music.
Yeah, but you know what's funny? The funny thing is that those new school musicians, those younger kids who have this eclectic music style or taste for music, they have that because they were learning about music through the internet, you know. They were on the internet and they'd be like, oh, there's another genre popping up.
Sure,
I can listen to that too.
Right.
But you have that eclectic taste because your daddy had this big record collection.
That's
something.
Right, yeah.
Because normally those guys who've been influenced by a record collection, they'd be like, no, I only listen to grunge music.
Sure, right.
And that's why my guitar sounds like that.
And my father had a small record stall selling music, and I just always grew up around vinyls and cassettes.
Yeah, oh, nice.
And, I think what I grew up listening to has always, for this EP, I was listening to a lot of Talking Heads, who I love.
Yes.
To Nile Rodgers, Chic, to bands like Liquid, ESG. There's lots of cowbell in there.
Yeah. You know? More cowbell.
Yeah, that's my motto.
There we go again.
Story of my life.
I have a fever, and the only cure is more cowbell. You've studied at the Sylvia Young Theatre School,
that's
which
right.
is kind of like a well-known theatre school.
That's right.
How did that shape your stage persona? Because I think that you can really learn something about the presence that you want to have on stage.
Sure.
When you're doing theatre, right?
I went to Sylvia Young Theatre School when I was about 11 years old, and I was alumni with lots of amazing other kids and artists like Amy.
That's crazy.
Amy Winehouse and... the Spice Girls even went there.
What?
Members of the Spice Girls. And I always felt like I didn't fit in. You know, I was always a little bit of a... I always felt like an outsider, and I always had a completely different musical taste to everyone else. And everyone was kind of singing Vanilla Ice, Ice Baby.
And you weren't into jazz hands that much, right?
Right, okay. But I learned so much there, and I think it was a great training ground for me.
Yeah, I think so too. So I just want to wish you the best of luck for finishing the LP. As soon as you come back to Berlin, visit us again.
We are back in Berlin in August.
Okay, cool.
As part of Berlin's Pop Culture Festival.
Very nice.
We are so excited to be part of it. It's the first year. They've also got Naina Cherry. It's going to be awesome.
Cool.
And that's going to be mid-August. So make sure you come down, get tickets. Tickets are flying off the chain. So,
And you make sure that you visit us again.
We can
invite people.
Maybe we'll come and do a live session for you.
Yeah, that
would
be nice.
That would be good, wouldn't it, with the band?
Yeah, let's
just do that.
Let's just exchange contacts and let's keep that in mind, and then we'll see what's happening in mid-August. Until then, I wish you the best of luck for the LP and for everything that you've planned. Now, we'll listen to a damn song to say goodbye to you. And it's in a version of a Berlin band called the Beatsteaks. They've covered Neat in a very nice way. Listen to this. Ebony Bones, I'm im Studio. Vielen Dank, Ebony. See you soon. Bye-bye.